This morning we have heard the reading of Scripture where Jesus called four of his disciples, and I would like to make an additional reading in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, and hear now the reading of God's Word. And they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as a scribe. And just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him, crying with a loud voice, came out of him, and they were all amazed. As I think about these passages of Scripture that we have read this morning, and I think about these disciples, as they were chosen by Christ there as they were fishing by the Sea of Galilee, I remember a story that was told to me about Jesus after he ascended, and the angels came to him and said, "Now tell us about this wonderful church that you have established on earth." He said, "Well, I left it in the hands of these 12, really 11 men." And they said, "Well, what happens if they fail?" And Jesus said, I have no other plans." We think about being chosen by God to be involved in ministry. One of the things that I think that we need to realize quite readily is that we are chosen with our imperfections and our strengths, our assets and our liabilities. Several months ago, the staff and I met with an individual, and one of the questions that was asked, "Well, what are some of the defects of Main Street?" And then, after a while, another question was asked and said, "What are some of the assets of Main Street?" As I think about those assets and those liabilities and think about myself as a minister and you as a layperson, and certainly I can come up with a lot of liabilities in regard to myself, and I'm sure that you can come up with liabilities in regard to your own self. Now that I have served in the ministry for numerous years, I think about those marriages at a time like this that I have seen break up. And I became aware early on in my ministry that there were good couples who really had good marriages. They just didn't realize it. But they began to reflect upon the defects of one another. And then, the next thing you knew, the marriage was breaking up. And in the process, they became aware of just how so very expensive it was to break up a marriage. There was the judicial reality of what it cost to hire lawyers, and then to dissolve the property. And then, if there were children, It was only just a few weeks ago that a young person came to me and they were sharing with me about the breakup of their family unit. And the child looked at me and said, and I won't say whether it was a mother or father, but they looked at the child and said, I made a mistake in leaving your father, leaving your mother. I wish I could go back and change it. There are costs involved in marriages. There are emotional expenses that we learn as we grow together as one. There are monetary expenses as you learn to share. And so it is with the church. There are expenses that we face. Some are monetary. Some are spiritual. Some are physical. But there's a price to be paid. And as Jesus called these disciples, they immediately embraced one of the realities, which was to lay down their nets, their occupation, and follow Christ. I served as a jet mechanic for several years in the Air Force. I was out on the flight line during the day. Sometimes it was cold and sometimes hot, but not always. Sometimes pilots flew during the morning hours and sometimes they flew during the night. Most of the time, a pilot would come and I would greet him at the aircraft and he would hand me his bag, or in those days it was him, today it would be his or her bag. And I would place things in their proper containers, and then I would go and meet up with the pilot, and we would continue to walk around and to check the aircraft and to make sure it was ready for flight. It was my responsibility to button up the plane and to get it ready so that the panels were all secured. It was my responsibility to give the all clear to fire the engine. It was my responsibility to pull out the chocks and to get the plane ready to roll so that it could taxi out to the runway. And most of the time, missions were handled and the plane returned and the pilot returned. No damage, no physical harm, but not always. There were a few times when, because of whatever reason, the plane crashed and the pilot died. There is a reality to training. There's a reality to being in the military. There's a reality to the service that we fulfill. As Reverend A. Lamar Torrance said in his sermon entitled The Dirty Side of Ministry, in his words concerning the tragedy of the Columbia explosion, he writes, "President Bush said of the seven astronauts, these astronauts knew the dangers and they faced them willingly, knowing that they had a high and noble purpose in life. When we consider our call to take up the cross and follow Jesus, we too should be aware of its dangerous dynamics and still do it willingly. Our ministry will not always be one of glory and celebration and success. We will be afflicted in every way, but not driven to despair. We will be persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. The ministry we have is like a two-edged sword that heals as well as destroys, one that cuts down as well as builds up. And often when we commit ourselves to taking responsibility for telling others about Christ, we forget about the dark side of ministry, the dirty side. We forget that in this ministry, we not only have to deal with the good, but we also have to deal with the bad and the ugly. It's a dirty job, he says, but someone has to do it. This morning, I'm sure that if we were to ask this congregation, what are the ingredients of a successful church, we would have a lot of statements. I'm aware of some ingredients that I think that a church needs. I'm also aware of what other ministers and churches have found to be successful and have tried, and they're profitable. I receive email after email of individuals who say, respond to this program or to that program and you will have all the money that you need in the church and your church will be growing. But I will tell you the one ingredient that I feel very strongly about. It's the person in the pew. We, as a church, are going to contact evil in this world. It's the devil's job. He knows he is defeated. He knows his days are numbered. And if I mention one word to you that had not been used very often in our vocabulary until in recent years, it will strike all types of responses in your heart, even though I seriously doubt that we have had one to occur within our state, much less our town. And it's called terrorist. What has happened in New York and Atlanta, if you remember, during the Olympics, impacts the way we live. It affects the way we do business. Reverend Torrance made this statement in his sermon. Humorous and cute as that sounds, those spiritual terrorists are doing more damage to our ministry than drug addicts and prostitutes and pimps, because it is the spiritual terrorists sometimes lurking in our own hearts. And in every church, there are saints bound by spiritual forces, he said, and this is his statement, saints going to hell and saints raising the same. He said, what are you talking about, preacher? He said, let's look at this text where the man was possessed with an unclean spirit. Here was a man who knew who Jesus was, or at least the demons did. He was at the synagogue. He was practicing religion. He was hearing the words proclaimed by Jesus. He knew the right things to say. He called Jesus the Holy One of God. Yet he was found with an unclean spirit. He makes this statement, and I'm sure that it's very familiar to us. You see, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Just because you say you believe in God doesn't mean he's the head of your life. Even the demons believe in God and shudder. And we often think that just because people say that they know Jesus and have a relationship with God, that even with them and in them is good. We feel that just because individuals may be serving on boards and committees and singing in the choir, working on staff, preaching in the pulpit, maybe having been faithful to the church for years, that they are in a good standing with God, and we call them good members because they seem to be helping our church. But even Jesus said about himself, "Why do you call me good? There is no one good but God alone." Just because we look good, smell good, act good, talk well, doesn't mean that we're clean on the inside and free from evil. In sharing with the DS and some of my ministers as the years have gone by, and I think about what I have experienced in my, as the song said this morning, brief lifespan. And I've seen some of the things that have taken place both in the church and in the pulpit. I say this over and over, I've become aware that the church is a lot bigger than any human person. That the church is of God, founded by Jesus Christ for the well-being of His children. That if the church were not a spiritual institution, that the actions of some would have indeed torn it asunder. But it continues to exist as a body of Christ. If many of us were honest, we will acknowledge that we have some unclean spirits about us. Some evil may be within us, some wicked ways. Maybe some habits that we just can't kick, some lifestyles that we just can't get away from. Some compulsive natures that we just can't control. And we come to the church to get answers and to get deliverance. And so we pray, Lord, deliver us from evil. Lord, deliver us from the desires to always do things our ways and to go by our feelings and what we think rather than walking by faith and hearing your word. Lord, deliver us from this evil of just coming to church when we feel like it. And when we do come, we bring our own agendas and plans. Deliver us from evil, Lord. Our proneness to worry, our anxiety to always be in control, our refusal to worship, our excuses for and reasons for keeping our arms folded, our lips tied, our legs crossed, when we should be giving you praise and glorifying your name. Lord, deliver us, Jesus. I think about the man who was possessed by demons. He knew who Jesus was. And my question this morning in this sermon is for us, or how do we communicate to others about who Jesus is? I have shared with some of you in my short pastorate here, and you have told me phenomenal stories of being delivered from evil. Evils of addictions of all types. Restorations after time spent in prison. A time when God reached out to you and claimed you as His own. And enables you now to lift Jesus higher and higher. Our praise is not to praise our church, but to praise our Lord. Jesus calls us. He calls us as we fish by the Sea of Galilee. He calls us as we work at our desk. He calls us wherever we may be serving out in this world of ours. And He speaks to us and He says, "Feed my sheep." I cannot tell you this morning how Christ may be calling out to you, but He calls you into discipleship. He calls you into this family. He calls you into this community. And He gives to us this great commission to go into all the world to proclaim the gospel. I fully believe that the Church of Jesus Christ has a wonderful future. And I heartily pray that each one of our churches in this town will continue to have a bright future as well. But it's just not for Main Street, but it's for every other church. I think the reality of sharing and the growth of any church rests with the individuals in the pew, willing to share the good news of Christ. Tell me and tell others what Jesus Christ has done for you. Amen.